And now, from the Room 111 studios, it's Hacking Engagement with James Sternovan.
Hey there, listener. Welcome back to the Hacking Engagement podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I want you to imagine something. You and I are stepping into an elevator together, and secured under my arm is a copy of my brand new book, Teaching in Magenta. You notice the book and ask me about it. Your question instantly makes me realize a couple of things. That this is a classic scenario for an elevator pitch. And I better make these next few seconds count before the doors open and you disappear. So I lay on you my elevator pitch for my book, Teaching in Magenta. This book provides 100 ways to create a magnificent day in the classroom. Once you start stringing some magenta days together, you and your students will experience profound well-being and deep joy. Thankfully, you receive my pitch positively and then inquire, "That sounds interesting. Why'd you write it? Why is magenta in the title? How does one teach in magenta?" This podcast, my dear listener, will answer those questions. I'm so excited to bring you this new book, Teaching in Magenta. Over the next few weeks, I'll do 5 short podcasts which detail paths directly from the book. I'm going to help you create 5 magnificent days in your classroom. But today, I'm going to lay some groundwork. This episode will explain, why I started writing books about a decade ago. And this might really interest some of you. I'll talk about how I got that first book published. I'll also explain why I wrote Teaching in Magenta. And I'll describe this book that I'm so excited about. This is book number 4 for me. I love writing books. And I don't know if I'll write another one. But this one, folks, this one is my favorite. I love this book, Teaching in Magenta. Buckle up, man. I'm very confident that you're going to love this episode. Here's my elevator pitch for my brand new book, Teaching in Magenta. This book provides 100 ways to create a magnificent day in your classroom. Once you start stringing some magenta days together, you and your students will experience profound well-being and deep joy. That's Teaching in Magenta, which is now available on Amazon's virtual shelves. So it was back in the murky past of, about 10 years ago. I don't exactly remember what year it was, but I had this wonderful student teacher. And this guy was a young football player from Otterbein University, which is 10 miles from my old school where I used to teach. And he was this young, good-looking, buffed-up guy, and he comes marching into class. And, all the girls thought, wow, he's really hot. And all the young male athletes were drawn to this guy. But I could tell that there was a small cadre of students that were standoffish, that were turned off by him. In fact, I think I heard one of them say, "Oh, great, they sent us another jock social studies teacher." So I pulled this young man aside. His name's Charlie Raleigh, wonderful teacher, wonderful young guy. And I said, "Look, I can teach you a lot of the ins and outs of delivering a lesson and creating a lesson and all that, but let's work on you building relationships with that handful of students that are inclined not to like you, inclined not to bond with you." And he was game, man. He was a fantastic student teacher. So over the next few weeks, we worked on that, and he really made some strides, and those kids warmed up to him. And then his professor came and observed him teach, and the lesson went well, And afterwards, his professor from Otterbein pulled me aside and said, "Man, I love the culture in this class. The climate in here is fantastic. How did you create this?" Well, I spent the next 20 or 30 seconds sputtering. I was like, "Geez, I don't know. I just kind of came in and just was myself. And this, I don't know." And I left school that day and I thought, geez, I can't believe that I couldn't answer that question. It was perfectly legitimate question. And so I contacted the education department at Otterbein University. I needed to do some credit hours to get recertified. And I said, your visiting professor asked me this question. I would like to be able to answer it better. I got paired up with Diane Ross, who's a wonderful professor down in Otterbein, and her and I started working on a little independent study together on creating a wonderful classroom culture. And that became a book. That became a manuscript. So I went to school one day back 10 years ago and left school that day with the seed on a book that I should write. It was totally like this serendipitous moment. Now, this is something that I hear from a lot of teachers who want to write books. How in the heck did you get it published? That ain't easy, man. It's not easy to get a book published. And so what I did was, you know, I just started sending out some little proposals to some different companies, and I didn't get much back. But one editor who rejected my manuscript said, I'm going to encourage you to read this book thinking like your editor. And so I did. And all of a sudden I put, you know, I reworked my proposal so it was much tighter, much cleaner, much more provocative and compelling. And then I started sending it out again to a number of publishers, and one day in my inbox, there was a publisher that was like, this is really interesting. Let's talk. So it took a lot of work and, you know, some luck perhaps. But anybody who has a manuscript idea, I would really encourage you to read that book thinking like your editor. It is outstanding. And that, folks, is how I got my book published. Now, right after I got my first book published, which is You've Got to Connect in 2014, the next big obstacle was who's going to buy it. So I had to market it. And I always loved listening to podcasts. So I started thinking, well, maybe I should go the podcast route. And those of you who listen to education podcasts are probably familiar with Jennifer Gonzalez's monster podcast called A Pedagogy. Well, this was back in 2014, and so Jennifer's was a podcast that came up on my iTunes feed, so I just contacted her, and, you know, that was a long time ago, and she wasn't nearly as big as she is now, and so she and I started interacting, and I went on her episode 9, and that really opened some doors for me. I started getting on some more podcasts, got to know some more editors, and then the next 3 books were in the pipeline. So that's kind of how I got started writing a book. I wanted to clarify that. That's also how I got it published. So now I want to tell you this story about why I wrote this brand new book called Teaching in Magenta. Early March of 2019 represented a typical Central Ohio late winter for me. I was gearing up to coach track and field, which was about to start. And I was feeling the siren song of spring break at month's end. You guys probably can picture this in your mind. Then quite unexpectedly, my school district offered a buyout to older teachers. Now, I'd navigated 34 years in the classroom at that point, and I knew retirement was near, but I had planned to go a few more years. I mean, I still loved the job, but the buyout was significant, and I knew that I had to take the offer seriously. I also knew that there was no way I could leave teaching unless I could replace the multitude of daily social interactions with students and colleagues. Fortunately, a local university offered me an adjunct position teaching future teachers. I also forged a relationship with a local aid agency that wanted me to help refugees learn English and pass their citizenship test. So with these future social interaction opportunities secured, I decided to take my school district up on their offer. My life fundamentally changed that March. When spring break rolled around at the end of the month, I had set the wheels of change in motion, and I was in a bit of a tizzy. Wow, I can't believe I'm doing this. Wait, should I be doing this? Yes, this is an extraordinary opportunity to say goodbye to my wonderful K-12 students, but continue to bond with students by teaching at the college level. Regardless of that change, I knew one thing. I would utilize my greatest strength, which is my disposition, as I move forward. I'm a positive guy. Students and colleagues embrace this and frequently point it out to me. Some accuse me of being lucky for having such an outlook. but those that make such claims don't know me well. My successful disposition is a product of design, not fate. I've experienced life's hardships like everyone has lived as long as I have. I've experienced many days where I could barely face my students. But I made the decision early in my career that I was going to create awesome days. Sometimes this took much effort, but the adage, fake it till you make it, somehow works for me. I certainly don't have a 100% success rate, but most days when I set my mind to improve them turn out great. With that in mind, on this dreamy spring break back in 2019, as I reflected on my career and future education endeavors, I experienced a powerful eureka moment. I decided to share exactly how I create those outstanding days. That idea inspired this book. I started typing, amazed at how my fingers magically flew over the keys of my laptop. By the end of April, I was done with the manuscript, April 2019. I'd never written anything so effortlessly. Boy, that's not an easy word to say. Now, I felt in 2019 that it was great timing to publish a book on teacher well-being. I'd noticed more empathetic signals from administrators. They seemed to recognize that pushing too hard was counterproductive, and that the law of diminishing returns also applied to teachers. I was hoping for a 2019 copyright, which seemed like good timing for a book that would help teachers and their students find more bliss. However, publishing books frequently takes longer than you think. Then, dear listener, the coronavirus struck. Book publishing was put on hold, and I, like most educators, started dealing with the variable-laden challenge of online teaching in a COVID-stricken world. Such monumental events alter trajectories. While students in classrooms will exist, schools will invariably be different. They're going to change. Instruction is going to be different. We, as teachers, need to be different. We need to become different. But perhaps we could be different in a positive way. In short, COVID-19 itself and the quarantine that followed made me feel more strongly about the importance of this book in the educational world at this time. Yes, this world requires that we make adjustments, take ownership of our days, become a beacon of teacher well-being, become a rock to our students, colleagues, and parents. They need us. This book will show you how to fulfill those promises. Teachers tirelessly promote the idea that students must embrace a growth mindset. I mean, I do it all the time. I've done this. This book is your opportunity to practice what you preach by building better tomorrows for yourself and your students. It's one thing to have a goal to create better classroom environment. It's quite another thing to have a detailed plan. And that's why I wrote this book. And finally today, I want to talk about the book itself. I want to give a book description. And the first thing is that title. My gosh, Teaching in Magenta. So why magenta? Well, magenta is this versatile color. Sometimes it's described as purplish red, and at other times, mauvish crimson. It's distinctive. It's bold. I love it. I grew up and even went to college surrounded by magenta. My father was a professor at Muskingum University, a small liberal arts school in southeastern Ohio, where I currently teach, by the way. I graduated from there. And get this, Muskingum's colors are black and magenta. How's that for a courageous combo? Unfortunately, you know, sports teams a lot of times, they just wear red. Muskingum sports teams typically just wear red because magenta is just too much, which is too bad. My devotion to magenta, however, isn't based primarily on school allegiance or its inherent beauty. It's because this color inspires virtue. If you research its meaning, you'll find a whole slew of noble qualities. I love the description of magenta's noble nature on empoweryourselfwithcolorpsychology.com. This book will focus on five of the qualities that you can find on that website. Compassion, optimism, balance, adaptability, and contentment. Each section of this book focuses on translating and inserting one of these magenta attributes into your classroom. Manifesting these attributes in concert will bring joy to your classroom and your professional life. Every teacher can find joy and well-being for themselves and their students if teaching in Magenta is their daily goal. In this book, I'm going to provide you with 100 powerful paths to facilitate Magenta in your classroom. Now, this next point is crucial. This is not your typical book that you pick up and read straight through. I'm going to explain how I want you to use this book. Teaching in Magenta is meant to be consumed slowly. Think of it as a journey of discovery with 100 different paths or options to explore. Now, if you rush through the pages and look for the fastest route to the end, Magenta could become elusive, and you'll miss some marvelous experiences and beautiful scenery. Now, speaking of scenery, and this is something I'm really excited about in this book. As you experience the paths of teaching Magenta, you'll encounter a few sketches during your journey. In the tradition of my Hacking Engagement podcast, which features students as guests, I've enlisted the help of a young lady to take the Magenta journey and to share her feelings through her favorite medium. Lauren Barnes is a high school student and a budding artist. As she read this book, she put pencil to paper. Her interpretations of the paths are scattered throughout the book, in no particular order. They appear without labels or captions, so you can interpret them as you see fit. The images amplify ideas and encourage nuanced interpretations. Also, what's a book without pictures? I'm so glad her voice is present in this book. I'm so glad there's a student voice in this book. Thanks, Lauren. I love your pictures. Now, at this point, you might be thinking that 100 unique paths are quite a lot to explore, but it's important that you take your time and allow this adventure to unfold. Maybe do it over 9 weeks or even a semester. You don't even have to read this book in a linear fashion. Here's what I want you to try. Aim to read a page a day. And then be inspired and try to apply it and create some Magenta in your classroom. This is not a bedtime story. It's a sunrise story. Keep your copy on your desk at school and read a page before first period, or keep it in your kitchen and read a page while you're eating breakfast. Reading a page will only take minutes, but the impact on your students could be eternal. So that's why I started writing books about a decade ago, how I got that first book published, why I wrote this book, a little bit about teaching in Magenta. So please check out my book, Teaching in Magenta. There's a link on the show notes. You can look it up on Amazon. And if you're not ready to buy it, I totally understand. But if you're intrigued and you're willing to listen more as we ride up the elevator, remember this is an elevator pitch. It's going to be a long elevator pitch. We're going up many floors. Maybe it's a skyscraper. Check back soon and I'll describe one path to create a magnificent day for you and your students. And good luck tomorrow engaging your kids.
Show notes for this episode can be found at jamesallensternovant.com. If you enjoy Hacking Engagement, please subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes.